accession number 220098, Reel 2.
This is the type of thing you want.
Reel 1, Side B, Colonel Ernest Grant. Okay, you were explaining the fact that you had identified a drop-off point.
Yes.
For
the vehicles to turn around and unload and go back to the battalion area for the next load. Telling you now that, of course, by this time the transport had arrived. Personnel transport. Anyhow, we were unloading one of the vehicles when suddenly there was an enfilade fire from both sides on our position, and a lot of helter-skelter. The CO came up to control, and we took cover with the local stones and banks and whatever there was, and that was that.
Was it small arms fire or artillery fire?
Mostly small arms fire and machine gun fire. Yes. Anyhow, next.
And how did you respond to that? How did you?
Well, I didn't have time to think. I had to try and get rid of the vehicles because there was other troops to come up. And we didn't want the vehicles damaged. The first one had a bullet through the radiator. It was leaking water very fast. But we pushed to get the others away. And our anxiety was to get the rest of the troops up. So anyhow, the CO took over from them and came up with additional troops. There wasn't any other enemy between us and where we were, where we met their fire. And they came up and we dispersed, got undercover, got ourselves organized and down for the night. It was already quite dark.
Did you find out who the people were firing
at
you?
We found out the people firing us were Italians. We thought they were French, but at least we thought they were German, but they were Italian.
And they withdrew, or did you have to assault their positions?
I can't remember. I can't remember. There was a small local battle there, I think, and they departed.
And how much had you been briefed about the capabilities of the enemy you were likely to face? What did you know about them?
Not a great deal. We were told they were likely to be Italian, and they were not considered to be the real tough guys. Anyhow, I can't remember very much from that moment onwards. I know that the CO called O groups, and he said, "Anybody here? Who's that smoking?" And the chap said, "Here, I am, sir." He said, "Well, where's your cigarettes?" And the fellow said, "Here, sir." He said, "Right, throw them over." And from that, he was the colonel who'd stopped the cigarette smoking in the officer's mess. Now he'd come into opposition, he changed his mind a bit.
Okay, so you...
Colonel Anstey. No, not that was Colonel Anstey. That was A.A. Crook. C-R-O-O-K. A.A. Crook.
So, having... It looks
as if you've got a cup of tea there. Can I...
Okay, so the Italians were pushed back, and the battalion then was grouped ready for
the advance
on Medjez.
Yes, that's right.
Can you describe what happened next then?
Well, I was still a transport officer. I wasn't an infantry company operator. But nevertheless, I kept my transport back undercover, ready for advance. And the other units, 2nd North, the Lancashire Fusiliers, and the other unit in the brigade were coming up on the left, on our, mainly on our left, and some on our right, and they took over from us and went forward. Now, over in the course of the next few days, we got held up at a place called Longstop. Don't know if you've ever heard of Longstop. Longstop was I think it was about 20 miles from the nearest next big location, very near Algiers, and it controlled the road leading to Algiers. We held the position at Medjez, at Longstop Hill for some time. The Germans held it. We held it, we got it again. We had the Americans, or I must tell you, the Americans were involved in this fighting. They were tanks. They had small tanks, and they came up on our left, and they operated as if they were in the middle of the desert, wide open to opposition. Brave as anything, but not very wise. It was some of their decisions, I thought. But then I was no experienced officer at these type of things. Anyhow, eventually they broke through and joined up with the other troops. Longstop Hill was a very big point to a division, because we were on it and off it, pushed off it and on it and pushed off it several times. And
was this the battalion's first big action?
Yeah.
And how did it respond?
I'm trying to think what happened. Well, the attack and counterattack constantly up the Longstop Road towards I think the name of the place was Tabarka, I'm not sure. And I remember eventually we were in control of the Longstop Hill, and I was then commanding the anti-tank platoon. We had 6 6-pound anti-tank guns.
And at what stage did you switch to that from the transport role?
I can't remember. Anyhow, it was quite soon afterwards. Once we got settled, once we got stopped, and for some reason or other there was a vacancy, I think I went into this job, as there was no real work for me in commanding transport. Anyhow, I remember very well I was in charge of 6 6-pounders, a platoon of 6-pounder guns, and at Longstop Hill I was instructed to go forward and be ready to support my battalion, which was infantry, of course. And nobody could move through this Longstop Hill because there was so much opposition and vehicles broken down. It was a terrible situation. I was given a position to support my company on its left flank. And I decided to run the engines of the vehicles as slowly as possible, with the exhausts covered up to some degree. And we pulled our vehicle, our anti-tank guns, round in front of the Longstop. Fortunately, nobody went for us. We were in gun position with our anti-tank guns first thing in the morning. We were the only ones in position, which I was pleased about. At least I wasn't pleased about. As a whole, I was pleased that we were in position, and from there we went on forward.
And what enemy armour were you expecting to face?
We didn't know. We didn't really know. They had some mainly light armour, but they had some medium-heavy armour as well. But I can't remember what... After this, I can't remember any dealings with the forces. I just can't remember.
Okay. So the battalion then eventually was involved in the capture of Longstop And what was morale like during this first engagement? What was battalion morale like?
I can't remember. Let's pour this coffee.
Okay, we were talking about the
advanced.
The enemy and their capability,
yeah.
And what you knew of them during this time.
We were always worried about German anti-tank guns, because we had very few. But the Germans always seemed to have plenty.
This was the 88.
Yes. I don't know how much we came into contact with them, because quite honestly, I wasn't involved in anti-tank action. Although I did go on an anti-tank gun course in North Africa.
And how did you view the German soldier?
Well, I hadn't come across him personally. I was very fortunate. I can't recollect coming across any German soldiers.
But was the expectation that they would fight harder than the Italians?
They would what?
That they would fight harder than the Italians.
Well, that was always the thought that would be the case. And the Italians were always discounted. Everybody thought little of them. Well, I don't know why. I remember one incident, the troops were coming back from, the Germans had advanced, broken through at south, we were a bit concerned, I was bringing back some troops who'd been on exercises. As we came along, there was a rush of vehicles, American vehicles, going back from where we'd come. And I stopped one by putting our lorry across the road. I said, "What's going on here?" And these are his words. He said, "Boss, we's retreating, and I's not stopping this side of Constantine." But I don't even want to tell that one. But no, it's not fair. But it's fact. That is a fact of life. Past we's retreating and ours not stopping this side of Constantine. You've got to remember some things that amuse you, otherwise life's not worth living.
So describe what happened after the Battle of Longstop was completed.
Well, we weren't in at that time. I became a gunner, anti-tank gunner. And I can't remember. All we used to do is get into position and be ready for opposition. I can't really remember myself being involved in very much in North Africa after that.
Did you actually fire an action against enemy armour at all?
Personally, I can't recollect. Just can't recollect.
Okay.
I don't think we came across any guns.
So after that battle was complete, what's
there
your
was
next?
A lot. There was a hell of a long time before anything else happened. We brought troops up from Montgomery's armies from the 8th Army, and we came. From our side towards one centre. I can't remember how long it took. She must remember there was a great moulet of soldiers. I really don't remember the detail. I wouldn't like to mislead you.
What is your next memory after that then? When
there's one memory I have of something that was long before this. When we were advancing very shortly after the landing, we were advancing with troops right on the coast of us, further inward inland. The people on the coast were commanded by one officer, Major Doug Truckle, Truckle, and he was magnificent. He was kept the things going and protected our left flank the whole way along, going into Algiers.
So you got into Algiers.
And from Algiers, the Germans were walking into surrender, into their camps, because they all eventually surrendered. And we were preparing for going on with our next operation, which we didn't know. I don't know if we knew what it was, but we were going to Sicily and Italy. So I can't remember whether we knew at that time we were doing that. It was quite fairly obvious because where we were. But I can't remember any detail.
So at what stage did you find out that you were going to Sicily?
I can only hazard a guess that it must have been shortly afterwards. But there was nowhere else to go. There were operations going on there in all over the place. Various landings and little attacks and Cyprus and Sicily, and although Sicily wasn't until much later on. I can't give you details.
So how did you spend your time before the invasion of Sicily? Were you still anti-tanks?
I think I was by that time I was battalion adjutant. And
what did that involve?
Battalion adjutant is the chief staff officer of the battalion. That means you're in touch with the forward troops for the CO, and in touch with the rear, with the other units which are attached to your division or to your battalion.
And why were colours. Why were you selected for that post?
Why was I selected? I think I was a capable organiser.
Did you enjoy that as a?
Yes, I did.
As an appointment?
I did. I followed up many years later, a couple of years later, when I was sent to the staff college in Palestine. And when I came back and was promoted from captain to major.
Can I give you another coffee?
No, I can't remember a great deal. You just got on with your job.
Okay. So, as adjutant, you spent your time in Algiers with the battalion. And what happened next? What happened after that?
We carried on training all the time. We never stopped training. Exercises were taking place. I can't remember. Well, I can remember that on the right-hand side of us, long stop battle was played, we were extended on our right. We used to send out patrols every night for contact, see if they could find out the positions of the enemy. And get information about their weapons and so on. Companies used to send out these patrols wherever they were. One made up one's mind as to the whole situation how it was developing from the information that came back to you from these operations and from your other colleagues. But don't forget, after the end of the Algiers situation, before the next operation, there was quite a long time. People had to rest and so on. I'm a bit sorry about this. I can't remember what the devil happened.
Having then found out about the invasion of Sicily, what do you remember about that?
Well, I know it was the invasion. We went in at night and early morning on little boats. And the Americans are already there on our east and forward. And we got in and got down to safety positions. I can't remember how it developed on there, but you'd have to get somebody else to tell you.
Were you involved in any fighting at this stage?
No, at that stage I think I was adjutant.
Still adjutant.
I was adjutant until quite a little while later in Italy, when I was sent to the staff college in Israel, in Palestine it was.
What do you remember though about Sicily in general? Is there any do you have any recollections of the time you spent there?
Not really. I just close it up like a glove. Okay. But, as I say, it's in here. If you want to read it, you can do so.
No, thank you. After Sicily, then the battalion went presumably to Italy.
Yes,
the invasion of Italy.
When Sicily finished, Sicily went on for about a month, and we then started going to Italy, but we didn't invade as such. We boated to the heel of Sicily. What do you call the area? South, right down at the heel. You know what I mean by that. And we came in quite leisurely on transport. At least our transport was there for us. And we went forward until we met the opposition. And I can't remember, the opposition was crossing a river. I hadn't studied or looked at this in there. I would have prepared something for you. We went up the heel of Sicily and then came across to the other side, and that was the position. At that stage I was a divisional officer, then divisional staff officer.
And at what stage were you transferred from the battalion to divisional staff?
I think that was about the time in Italy. I can't remember. When we were after we'd crossed the River Sangro. Just so irritating. I remember so much, and then it comes to a dead stop.
Can you recall why you were selected to go to the divisional staff?
Because I was presumably I was on the staff, was carrying out staff duties as a divisional staff officer. And or brigade staff officer I was at that time, or I wasn't, or I was just in the position that I was capable of doing it. I can't remember why. You know, I was sent to Palestine.
So you were selected for staff college in Palestine.
Yes.
Were you sorry to leave the battalion?
No, not sorry, because I knew I'd come back in.
So you went to Palestine. Can you describe the training you received there?
Training was all the same type of training that one would do mainly as a staff officer. Keeping fit, doing staff duties, that's passing out information, receiving information, analysing it, saying it goes to the right place. You were the centre of a little control, and you were the button they pressed to see that the information went in the various areas. And you had to be good enough to read a situation, pick out the important stuff, and pass it on.
And how long were you there for? How long did that training last?
I was in Palestine for about a few months.
And once you had completed that training, you then rejoined the division in Italy.
I rejoined the division Egypt.
In Egypt?
Yes, where we were training. The division was training in Egypt.
Right.
And then we went forward again from there. And the battles all described in the information you must have got from other sources.
Okay.
I'm afraid my story is collapsing. I can't remember.
Not a problem. And when you rejoined the division in Egypt, what position did you have?
I think I was G3. G3 at Brigade Headquarters.
Right.
One of the brigades of the division.
And what work?
CSO3.
And what work did that involve?
That involved the much the same as I'd always done with regard to receiving and passing information and instructions. Keeping in touch with the units, answering the questions, generally making yourself useful.
Did you get involved in operational planning in that?
Yes.
In that role?
Oh, yes.
Can you describe any operations that you might have been directly involved in?
Well, there was a... Mind you, I left Italy, I went to Israel for just training at the real time of the advance up on the coast, up the left-hand coast, what do you call it, east coast, no, west coast. Tell where I of Italy. Towards Naples, Rome, and so on. And
were you busy all this time? Was it a really busy time?
Oh yes, it was a very active time. Very active time. Short patrols and long patrols and short advances.
And how did the division perform?
Magnificently. We had several rivers to cross on the right-hand coast, which is the right-hand coast, the east coast. Before we moved over to the other side, and once we got there, we took over from the Americans up on the road to Naples, and they'd had heavy casualties. We went on forward from there.
Can you recall the name of the divisional commander?
I can't.
No.
It never stayed in my mind. Only silly little things stayed in my mind. Like, for example, we were in Naples, and the men complained that they got to Naples all right, but there was nothing they could do. They couldn't go anywhere. Nobody had any food for meals. And it was a waste of time. And I arranged for the warrant officer in command of food supplies to send up a big stack. I'd gone into the, let me put it this way, I went into the restaurant, saw the manager, and I saw there was nothing going on. I said to him, if I supply you with all the food, will you sell it to the British troops only wearing this battle axe at this price. Okay, we laid down the price. And this is what they did. The 78th Division were able to take advantage of the fact that there were restaurants there for them.
And were you in the G3 branch all this time, or did you move across to?
Oh no, I've been several